Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Young Catholics Respond here on Patchwork Heart Radio. I'm your host, Bill Snyder, and on today's podcast episode, I have the pleasure of talking with the creators of the Martyrs' Prayers, the project, Michael Bell and Dwayne Arnold. Both Michael and Dwayne are recent converts to the Catholic faith. They came in this past Easter, so just a few months ago. Their project is an extraordinary endeavor that is born out of love for the church, a love for music, and perhaps most importantly, love for friends. As a musical and spiritual milestone, the album represents an event that has drawn together the luminaries of music in order to honor those who, throughout the centuries, gave their very lives for their faith, their freedoms, their communities, and their friends. More than a single event, however, the album represents a diverse community of artists bound together by the very faith articulated on the album tracks and by their friendship and love for one another. The artists' diversity is wide. Roman Catholics, Evangelicals, Methodists, and Anglicans, those of varied political persuasions, all bound together by their friendship and their common desire to honor the martyrs. The album is more than just fantastic music. It is packed with a wealth of information in liner notes, biographies, and resource materials. It is a call to know the past and transform the present, to find the purpose in life from the one question asked of us all. What would you die for? So, Michael and Dwayne, it's wonderful to have you on the program tonight. Thank you so much for joining me.
Pleasure to be here. Great to be with you, Bill.
So, maybe I want to find out first from both of you, why the album? How did this originate? Where did it come from?
Well, I think I'll let Michael take that.
Alrighty.
He sort of has the story on this one.
This is Michael, and Dwayne contacted me after we had been absent from one another for about 30 years. We worked together on staff of a church in the mid-70s, and then we kind of parted ways when we all just, who were involved in this church community, which involved a lot of musicians, we all decided we needed to get our higher education and degrees and pursued it, and we all kind of fanned out and pursued our own kind of education, and we lost touch, Dwayne and I did, from that. We had worked together in music. But so every year we'd share Christmas cards with each other and kind of keep each other updated. But he called me about 3 years ago and said, "I've been looking for you. We have to get back together." And I traveled to Indianapolis. I was living in Iowa City, Iowa at the time, and I traveled to see him, and we had it was an emotional and spiritual reunion, I must say. He said, "Bring your guitar, because I want to hear what you're doing musically." I shared with Dwayne and his wife some songs that we used to play in our community of faith. And in sharing those songs, we realized that there is a lot here to draw from. And I told Dwayne, I said, you know, he said, "What are you doing with your music?" I said, "Well, I've given up on it pretty much. I mean, I share in a weekly fellowship, which was a campus ministry at the time. But I've pretty much given up on it because it's going nowhere and it's become a hobby for me." And he said, "That's a real shame." He said, "Let's see what we can do about that." So in the coming months, I traveled to Indianapolis to visit Dwayne and his wife frequently. Hmm. And we started talking about music and what we can do with the music that both of us had put together way back when, and when I used to perform with my own band, and Dwayne would manage that band, and so it came together with quite nicely. One afternoon, I distinctly remember, he said, "Well, how are you at lyrics, Michael? You know, what are you working on? What original music have you come up with?" And I said, "I do great things with original guitar compositions, but I'm terrible at lyrics, and I'm just awful." And he said, "Well, you know," a light went on, and he said, "I have this book called Prayers of the Martyrs that I put together and translated into blank prose, and it's just all set up for somebody to put music to these prayers. What if you started putting music to these prayers? What if we pursue that?" So I went home and started putting together music to go with various prayers of all these different martyrs, these saints, and wrote about close to 40 different music accompaniments to these prayers. And I would send him MP3 files of in my own little recording studio. I'd send them off to him and keep going, he'd say. And so the next time, we got together, and he said, "What do you think about making a CD of this music that you've put to prayers and that we've put together, and getting our old friends together that we used to... I used to travel with all these folks, Randy Stonehill and Phil Keaggy, and way back in the 70s. He said, "Let's get them all together and let's do a CD. And I pretty much said, "Are you crazy?" And and we started doing that. And that's how the album pretty much, that was its genesis. And we pursued it, and here we are with an album. And we did get Phil Keaggy and Randy Stonehill and Margaret Becker and all these old contemporary Christian music folks that were on the on the basis of kind of contemporary Christian music. They were the foundation of it. So that's pretty much how it came to be.
That's incredible. This album focuses on several contemporary and not so contemporary martyrs. I absolutely love this album because what you've done is you've taken the words of these actual martyrs from various sources that you've compiled or that Duane has compiled. As you say in your press release, it's been drawn from a great cloud of witnesses from across the centuries and around the globe. And what is your favorite song on this CD? Maybe both of you. What's your favorite song and what's your favorite story? You know, there might be two different questions in there.
This is Duane. I'll have to say straight out, it's going to be Romero to begin with. Mm-hmm. Oscar Romero was such a pivotal figure in the 20th century. It's so funny. You can start off with somebody like Thomas à Becket being killed at the altar in Canterbury Cathedral. Some say it was for politics. Others say it was because he was defending the church. But you can go from that to 9 centuries later and find Oscar Romero killed at the altar as the archbishop. And some people said, "Oh, well, that was political." No, he was defending the church.
What a cool song! I mean, you know, when you listen to this album, it's not your traditional Christian, you know, K-Love music that's out there. This is.
Thank you.
And
yes, that's a compliment to us. Thank you, Bill.
And I think that attracts a lot of people to the album. It attracts me to the album as I'm riding around in my car listening to these songs off my iPod. There's something that elevates the prayer. It's not just the words, but it's the music that elevates this. And there's diverse styles. I mean, you guys have a little bit heavier rock, some acoustic in there, and what elevates it, you know, to what it is the content and the combination of music, a musical styles. Romero has a little bit of a Hispanic flair to it, the beginning with the guitars, it's mm-hmm. you can feel it.
The thing that moved us this last year, probably as much as anything, John Sobrino, who was the one Jesuit who escaped being killed at UCA, the University of Central America in El Salvador. It was merely because he was gone on a mission project. But when the other Jesuits and the housekeeper and her daughter were killed there at UCA, he escaped death. And, you know, in the early church, he would be called a confessor. That is, someone who had been marked for death, but through the intervention of God and through the Holy Spirit, escaped. He got in touch with us.
Wow.
He got in touch with us.
It's a great honor.
To tell us what a great song it was and how it really honored Romero.
Wow. It just is unbelievable.
A friend of ours, when we were received into the Catholic Church, he said, I'm sending you something and a letter with it to explain. And it was a very simple Spanish Bible of his great aunt. This friend of ours is from El Salvador.
Mm-hmm.
His great aunt was one of the ones who went to the funeral of Oscar Romero. And as you know, the military opened fire on the mourners.
Right.
And 44 people were killed.
Yeah.
His aunt was one of the 44 who were killed.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
And he sent us her Bible. And he said, you know, you may ask me why I'm not keeping this family treasure for my daughter. And he said, it's because since you have honored Romero, you are closer than my family.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, Michael and I got it, and we were just, and I hate to say this, but both of us were just basket cases. I mean, it was just so emotional.
Yeah, the power of the Holy Spirit certainly is all over this album. I listened to, In fact, I had to even do some research about some of the people who were in this as I was preparing for the interview. I didn't even know who John Ree was, but the song was so incredible. I'm listening to this song, and I'm listening to the words of this man, and I'm going, who is John Ree? Who is John Ree? And now I'm looking it up on Wikipedia, and it's not coming up, and I'm like, come on, where is it?
He's in the Korean Martyrs.
Yes, Korean Martyrs. Exactly, he's in the Korean Martyrs. And I finally found it. I finally found it, and I was like, oh, my gosh, what an incredible story. And the story that you're telling through the words, I think, is what is so powerful here, that people are reflecting on something that truly is of great divine power, but also is so humanly real. There's a struggle.
Yeah.
There's a struggle. There's it truly is the church, right? Because the church is fully human and fully divine, just like Christ is fully human, fully divine, and it comes through so strongly and through so beautifully. Maybe we should play a Romero song for our listeners here, and we'll just play that, and then we can come back and continue talking. Again, for the listeners here, we're talking with Michael Glenn Bell and Dwayne Arnold. They are the founders and creators of the project Martyrs Prayers. Here is Romero.
Thank you. is death, is the grace of God that I do not believe I deserve. But if God accepts the sacrifice of my life, let my blood bring liberty. Let my blood be a seed of freedom. Let my blood be a seed. Let my blood be a seed of freedom. Let my blood be a seed. Let my death, if accepted by God, be for my people's liberty. And a sign that hope will soon be reality. Let my blood be a seed of liberty. Let my blood be a seed. Let my blood be a seed of liberty. Let my blood be a seed. You may say if they accomplish killing me, that I pardon and bless those who succeed. Would indeed they might be convinced not to waste their time. A bishop will die. Let my blood be a seed of freedom. Let my blood be a seed. Let my blood be a seed of freedom. Let my blood be a seed. Let my blood be a seed of freedom. Let my blood be a seed. Let my blood be a seed of freedom. Let my blood be a seed. Let my blood be a seed of freedom. Let my blood be a seed. Let my blood be a seed of freedom. Let my blood be a seed. A bishop will die, but the church, God's people, will survive.
All right, back here on Patchwork Heart Radio, you're listening to Young Catholics Respond. I'm your host, Bill Snyder, and we're talking with Michael Glenn Bell and Dwayne Arnold. They are the creators of the project Martyrs' Prayers. This is an interesting project. We just listened to the Romero track off of their album, and it is truly moving, emotional, as you can tell. It even has the original gunshot in this, correct? That you heard at the beginning?
That's right.
That's
isn't that an incredible? I was looking, and I don't know why I was doing research on Romero at the time, and in preparation, because one of the things we did, Bill, is when we were recording the album, and this is with people of very diverse, you know, faith traditions.
Correct.
A sheet was prepared for all the musicians. And we would sit down for a half hour to an hour and discuss amongst ourselves the martyr that we were going to be doing the song about.
In the recording studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This wasn't just sort of come in or, you know, come in, play your guitar and leave. This was a commitment to say, I'm going to learn about this. I'm going to honor this martyr. And so I was looking for things about Romero, and suddenly I came across this audio file. It was a nun who was in the chapel at La Providencia, the hospital chapel.
Yeah.
Who had a cassette recorder with her recording the mass
in San Salvador.
And she recorded the gunshots
and put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. So you were able to, you know, get permission and take the gunshot for the song. And
yeah,
and you hear it at the beginning, it's boom, you know? I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that that's in the song.
You can hear Romero saying the mass.
Yes,
Spanish,
you do.
And then you hear the gunshots, and that's literally a recording of his martyrdom.
Yeah, isn't that absolutely unbelievable that you have the martyr's recording of his death? And
it's powerful.
Yeah, it's powerful. There's nothing that moves you that is like this in music. There's nothing that moves you like this. And as you said, you've worked with so many great individuals and great artists. I mean, the list is incredible. You've listed some of them: Phil Keaggy, Randy Stonehill, Jennifer Knapp, Glenn Kaiser, Kemper Crabb. You know, I mean, oh my gosh, the list goes on. The McCrary sisters, John Sefra, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, Margaret Becker, Mike Pacelli. I mean, these go on and on. If you Google these people, you will see that they have an incredibly long list of musical talents and whatnot. And it's just as unbelievable. But all of this draws us and moves us, as you know. I keep leading up the mountain here without asking the question at the summit. It begs the question: what would you die for? You know, where you're asking us this question in these songs, and so I ask that question to you. You know, where are we as a culture? What are we willing to die for?
It's interesting. There was a lovely man who's an evangelical. He was doing a blog posting, and he posted something about martyrs' prayers on it. And what are the videos? And he actually didn't get very much response. And it's unusual because it's a very, very popular blog site.
Yeah.
And he then wrote the next day, and he said, you know, if I put something up criticizing Joel Osteen, I would have had 200 responses. He said, I put something up about the martyrs and I get 2 or 3. He said, I guess martyrs just aren't in fashion these days.
And how true is that?
I thought it was one of the most telling comments that I had read in a long time. I think as a culture, we've moved away from the idea of that there's something worth dying for. And we've wrapped up that question in 1,000 qualifications. Well, maybe if. Well, perhaps if this. Well, you know, if this happened, maybe I... And, you know, this is antithetical to Catholic faith.
Yeah.
You know, before we came on the broadcast, we had the opportunity, Bill, to say the Ave Maria with you.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Right.
That death does not mean that you're going to die in bed with your family gathered round.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, there's no guarantee.
That's right.
I mean, and if we doubt that, let's talk to the believers in Mosul, Iraq, this week, where ISIS, the Islamic State group, has gone in. Church bells did not ring in Mosul for the first time in 1,600 years.
Yeah.
After ISIS came in. Mm-hmm. Believers were killed. In Egypt last year, two of my good friends, beautiful, lovely Coptic priests who were in a monastery, were killed.
So you're saying that people are still dying for their faith, huh? You wouldn't know it here. You wouldn't know it here, right?
That's right. Yeah, we're pretty comfortable here.
Yeah. Do you realize, actually, there's an evangelical at Gordon Conwell Seminary who has actually given the figures for martyrdom. There are more martyrs per year now than there were in the first centuries of the Christian church.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that so many people here, you know, in our society today take faith for granted. And we've watched with the current events of the Supreme Court decision for Hobby Lobby, right? It's taken for granted. We've watched this for a long time as being something we just we take it for granted. We move on. Okay, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And when we realize what's happening in other countries, what's happening just south of the border or overseas, and if those people were to come here and look at society, our society, I think they'd be very puzzled.
It's the phenomena of the megachurch in our society.
It is.
The church looks like a shopping mall. Why? Because the people attending are consumers. It's about what's comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to go to an auditorium, not a sanctuary. I want to go instead of simply having coffee hour, the blessed coffee hour, where I talk to people. No, I want to go to a coffee bar that's out in the front. I won't say narthex because it's not a liturgical term that's understood. That's out in the front of the church. It has become secular in the extreme.
For me, it gets to the point of, you know, we were talking to Jennifer Knapp when we were recording Ravensbrook, which is a prayer that was found in the clothing of a dead child in Ravensbrück concentration camp, and it's a beautiful prayer offering forgiveness to the people that you know, caused such great torment to them. And Jennifer said, you know, it's not so much a question of what would you die for me, it's a question of what are you living for now. And, through our whole process of recording this album, that's, I think, what stands out for me is the question of what would you die for and what are you living for, you know? What would you live for? What's important to you? What's, you know, important in your life? You know, you mentioned John Rhee from Korea, the martyr from Korea, in our song Re, spelled R-I, it's one of my favorite songs on the album, and it starts off, as a musician, I really appreciate this because it's great lyrics, you know. It starts off with, the sins of my entire life, by which I have offended you, weigh me down like a mountain. And, I think that's how contemporary people, I think that's how we feel, you know, and we need to get back to what are we living for? What's our perspective here and what's our focus? And we hope that with the martyrs' prayers that kind of brings people, swings them around, you know, to think more acutely as to what they are living for.
And you know, Bill, this has to do directly. I mean, there's an absolute line from us doing this work on the martyrs to us becoming Roman Catholics. There is a distinct, absolute line, because we came to a point in all of our lives of saying, we know that the truth is here. We know it. And we've known it intellectually for years. I mean, we had been great friends with John Michael Talbot back, oh my goodness, 35, almost 40 years ago. Michael roadied for him. I was at the first mass when his hermitage was dedicated here in Indianapolis. We were together to meet Mother Teresa. And you get to the point of saying, I can't stand on the sidelines anymore. And just intellectually engage in theology. Because theology isn't about thinking in the final analysis. It's about living.
That's right.
Are you going to live out your theology?
Yeah, exactly right. And I think so many people want to carve up the gospel into something that is meant for, you know, intellectual theological minds, and it is meant for intellectual theological minds too. It's meant for everyone. But
sure.
the starting point, the absolute starting point, is about your relationship with Christ. And otherwise if the gospel is not alive, if it's not a living, palpable thing that extends from the heart to your life, then all it is a bunch of words on a page that might have been written a long time ago by somebody who we've never met. And and it becomes a story of fiction and of a tale, and that is where we are. We were talking about where we are as our culture. What are we willing to die for? What are we willing to live for? And once we understand that this living, breathing, really alive Word of God, once we begin to realize that and know that that is truth, then what happens? You know, I mean, it's the Catholic Mass as a whole, you know, and I love it because we go from the Word, then it descends onto our altars. It becomes flesh. The Word became flesh and dwells not only among us, but within us in Holy Communion. And and when we understand that as Catholics, then we are willing to live for something. We are willing to die for something. And that's what's so impressive about your project. We see that. We see people of faith who understand that truth. And we hear their words. We hear the gunshots that have killed them. And that is what is so impressive. That's what will rock listeners. That is what will shape the culture as people just, I hope, turn this on as they drive to work, as they add it to their list on their iPods. I hope that they do that. Because, man, what an incredibly powerful work this is.
It is the Word becoming flesh. I mean, and, it's hard because you don't want to get, it sounds weird to say this, you don't want to get too spiritual about it and all the rest. But I'll tell you something. One of my devotions is to the Blessed Sacrament and the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. Why? It's real. It's the reality of Christ's body and blood on the altar. When you deal with the martyrs, it is so interesting. When you read the Church Fathers, martyrs and martyrdom are placed right there in the same context of Christ becoming flesh and living among us. It's placed right in the same context of Christ's blood. The blood of the martyr is shed. Christ's blood is shed. It is wrapped up inextricably with that whole theological construct. And I mean, I guess, Bill, we just hope that we're able to communicate our passion and our love of the church through what we've done. that has been the whole purpose of it.
Well, I can tell you, you hit home with me, and I guarantee you, you're going to hit home with, I hope, millions and billions of Catholics. And of all people of faith. Let's not forget the wide range of Christian denominations that have participated and have worked with you on this, and their martyrs included. I mean, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, right there for you. I mean, what a beautiful song.
Right.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer's song. Yeah. I love when the bells go off.
All of the references in Bonhoeffer actually are historically grounded.
Yeah.
The bell is the bell of the Kaiser Wilhelm Church, where he preached in the 1930s. And attracted the attention and the wrath of the National Socialists who were coming up at that point. The piano intro, it's because Bonhoeffer was supposed to be a classical pianist.
His mother wanted him to be a classical pianist, and he started out on the road to be one.
Yes.
So he changed his mind kind of to the, to his mother's chagrin. I mean, he decided to go to seminary. Yeah.
The wind in the background crying out, it goes back to the reference of Bonhoeffer after Kristallnacht. The only pastor of a German church who got up and said, don't think you can sing Gregorian chant if you can't cry for the Jews. This is in National Socialist Germany.
Yeah.
I mean, he had courage beyond anything I can imagine.
Dwayne and Michael, this is fantastic. And your album, your work is fantastic. As I said, you know, these are the premier musicians in the church, in Christianity as a whole. And this book that you've written, Dwayne, this Martyrs Prayers book, Prayers of the Martyrs. It's been translated into 9 languages as well. So people are able to get their hands on these stories, but even more importantly, their hands on this music, because there is such emotion, as you've been talking about, this emotion, this feeling that is thrown into these words and these lyrics inspired from this book. And it is incredible to hear this stuff. So that begs my next question: where can people get it, and how can people get in touch with you as well?
Well, they can go on themartyrsproject.com, which is our website, and they can purchase the album there. They can see the video of Romero, and another video that we did of Thomas Becket. It's called Becket, which is his last prayer, literally on the altar before he was slain on the altar. It was his last words that were spoken, and there's a video of that. But they can purchase the album on the website of the Martyrs Project. And we're real proud of it. Proud of the rock and roll music that's embedded in the album, and the acoustic folk rock music that's there, and the diversity of people and music that's spread all over the album.
We dedicated this album to 2 people. One was Robert Weber. Robert Weber was at Wheaton College, thoroughgoing evangelical. He married Harold Lenzel's daughter. I mean, it's real, you know, evangelical genealogy here. Thing is, Bob Weber loved church history. He became an Anglican and spent the last 20 years of his life encouraging people in evangelical circles to return to the centrality of the Eucharist. This is, you know, a guy whose office is right across from the Billy Graham Center in Wheaton, Illinois, and was a great influence on our lives. And so we dedicated it to him as someone who told us to love the church.
And we've met him.
And we met him. We knew him.
Yeah.
And the other person we dedicated it to was Larry Norman, because Larry Norman was the first guy in Christian contemporary music who told us it was all right to rock and roll.
I encourage all of my listeners to check it out and to get in touch with you as well. You're on Facebook, on Twitter, all the normal means of social media out there that people are sucking up these days. But find them, listen to them. These songs will change your life. They will draw you closer to Christ and his true, one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, which is what we're all shooting for. But before I let you go, I always want to make sure that I give you the last word. Is there anything you want to add or tell us that I did not ask you?
No, there's nothing that you haven't asked us, but there's one thing I'd like to say to anybody who is listening to this podcast. Maybe you can take us out on an outro with the song Clement. And that song, of course, is an apostolic father writing a prayer. He gave his life for the faith. But it talks about what you should be doing: feeding the hungry, visiting the prisoner, doing those things that Christians were renowned for doing in the first centuries of the church.
Clement of Rome, that's second century, isn't it, Duane?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And was most likely the third bishop of Rome.
Uh-huh. A
little bit of dispute about that among in academic circles. But the point of it is to say, this goes from what you die for to what you live for. And if you're living for your faith, to act out that life of faith in caring for the less fortunate among us.
We had Phil Kagi and Kemper Crabb and Wayne Berry, who is a friend of Jackson Browne's. In fact, Wayne Berry did an album in the mid-70s with Jackson Browne singing backup vocals on it. We had Wayne come into the studio and do vocals on it with Kemper Crabb and Phil Kagi. And this is a wonderful song from the lyrics adapted from Clement of Rome from the second century, who, by the way, was in the Crimean salt, Crimean copper mines, his death was... He was faced with putting an anchor around his neck, and they asked him, "Do you renounce your faith?" And he said, "No, I will not. I love Jesus Christ and the church." And they threw him in the Black Sea with an anchor around his neck, and that's how he met his death.
Well, on that very happy and joyous note, we will leave.
Yes, yeah, right.
Thank you, both of you, very, very much for joining me here on Patchwork Heart Radio today and Young Catholics Respond. I've been your host, Bill Snyder, and as promised, here is Clement from the project Martyr's Prayers. Once again, a big thanks to Glenn Bell and Duane Arnold for their time tonight. Here is Clement. Until next time, keep beating to your Catholic heart.
We beseech you to help and defend us. We beseech you to help. We beseech you to help and defend us. We beseech you to help. Deliver the oppressed, pity the poor, uplift those who have fallen, be the portion of those in need. We beseech you to help and defend us. we beseech you to help. We beseech you to help and defend us. We beseech you to help. We are your people and the sheep of your pasture. We are the people of God. We are your people and the sheep of your pasture. We are the people of God. Return to your care those gone astray. Feed the hungry. Strengthen the weak. Break the chains of the prisoner. You to help and defend us. We beseech you to help. We beseech you to help and defend us. We beseech you to help. We are your people and the sheep of your pasture. We are the people of God. We are your people and the sheep of your pasture. We are the people of God.